Сяда сухий дуби, завтра мороз буде. Ой, собирайся, молодий козачі, завтра покід буде. Ой, собирайся, молодий козачі, завтра покід буде.
Ой, я морозу дай не боюся, зараз розіллюся. Ой, я походу дай не боюся, зараз соберуся. Ой, я походу дай не боюся, зараз соберуся.
Під'їжджає під куршмоньку, низенько вклонився. Прости, прощай, грома, грома, доньку, може, з ким сварися. Прости, прощай, грома, грома, доньку, може, з ким сварися. Твоя вибирки, вирви соковирки, з'є. Женьки, верніться додому. Ой, ви хлопці, славні козаченьки, верніться додому.
Helena Kureshko and Maxim Berezhnyuk with a song called Suchi Dube, Dry Oak, which is actually a song about a soldier going off to war. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачі «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння, котра подається вам на хвилі CHLY 101.7 FM у місті Нанаймо. При мікрофоні Павліна. Добрий день, and welcome to Nosh Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo. I'm your host, Pavlina. On today's program, we've got a feature interview conducted by Anton Lysenko of Victoria, who, along with his wife, Daria, is beginning to populate the Nosh Holos YouTube channel with some fascinating interviews. Today we'll share the interview that he recently posted with Roman Lysiak, who is the founder of Toronto's Ukrainian Film Festival. Vasil Pavlovsky from Montreal will be joining us with Cultural Capsule and a story about a prolific Ukrainian author who survived Stalin only to be killed by Putin. And we've also got our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is Kozak System with a tribute to the brave defenders of Mariupol. Here they are with Azovstal.
Марія свята, ти їх збережи. Мене не жалій, я вже на межі. Ти бачила все, тут Бога нема. Тут тільки вогонь і свіжа зола. Моє серце сталь, моя кров азов. Не плач, моя люба, воскреснемо знов. Моє серце сталь. моя кров Азов. Не плач, моя люба, воскреснемо знов. У темряві бачу я очі твої. Повір, тут ми всі нестерпно живі. Повір, що я чую молитву твою. За тебе, за неньку, за вас тут стою. Моє серце сталь, моя кров Азов. Не плач, моя люба, воскреснемо знов. Моє серце сталь, моя кров Азов. Не плач, моя люба, воскреснемо знов. Моє серце сталь, моя кров Азов, не плач, моя люба, воскреснемо знов. Моє серце сталь, моя кров Азов, не плач, моя люба, воскреснемо знов. Моє серце сталь, моя кров Азов, не плач, моя люба, воскреснемо знов. Моє серце сталь, моя кров Азов. Не плач, моя люба, воскреснемо знов, воскреснемо знов, воскреснемо знов.
This is Anton Lysenko for Nash Volos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Don't miss our new in-depth interview with the expert in foreign policy Oleksandr Kraev. Together we'll discuss the security assistance deal that Canada recently signed with Ukraine. The full version of the interview in English language you can find on the YouTube channel Ukrainian Roots Radio Nash Volos.
Rather be without heat, but be free without you. землю навколо крив, без тепла, але без вас. Вікна темно повсюди, палять свічки всі люди, хоч без світла та без вас. Знищені всі мережі, терпіння вже на межі, без зв'язку, але без вас. Життя кипить у місті, ми співаємо пісні, голосно, аби без вас.
From Toronto, that was Nastasia Y with a song called Biz Vas, Without You, a song she recently released that reflects the determination and resilience of the Ukrainian people. Up next, our Anton Lysenko of Victoria, in conversation with Roman Lysiak, founder of Toronto's Ukrainian Film Festival.
Welcome to the studio of Ukrainian Rus Radio Nash Volos. Today we have Roman Lysiak with us. He is the founder and organizer of the Toronto Ukrainian Film Festival, which is going on right now in Toronto, April 4th. Hello, Roman.
Hi. Hi, Anton.
When this idea of the organizing film festival first came to you?
Our first film festival was last year. In March of last year. I live here in Toronto, and we live in a predominantly Polish neighborhood. We were out for dinner one night, and I saw that the local cinema was having the Polish Film Festival. I started looking around, curious to know if there was a Ukrainian film festival going on anywhere. There was nothing in Toronto. Why can't we do something like that? And I started searching to see what kind of films were available. And what Ukraine was putting out at that time, and was completely blown away with the quality, the variety, the strength, as well as all the awards that the films were winning on the world stage at a festival such as TIFF, Cannes, Sundance. And this year, 20 Days in Mariupol has won an Oscar. So we decided to put a festival on to showcase these films. Also, by showcasing the films, we are fundraising as well. So all of our proceeds go to two foundations. One is the Second Front Foundation, and the other one is CUF, Canada-Ukraine Foundation. So it is it's a fundraising event, but also celebrating modern Ukrainian cinema, culture, and trying to showcase this art to Canadians. Torontonians, to the general public, just to showcase what modern Ukraine is actually achieving in the arts and cultural world.
Yeah, thank you so much for doing this job, because Toronto has one of the most biggest, I guess, Ukrainian population abroad, and it's very sad that we didn't have any Ukrainian movie festival. This is already the second time you organize this festival in Toronto. Are you excited about that? And what's your expectation?
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. I'm very excited. Last year, we put the whole film festival together in 2.5 months, from conception to execution, and from all the help that we got from Second Front, my partner Pamela as well. We worked hours and hours. We put that together, and we ended up selling 1,500 tickets and generated $30,000 in humanitarian aid. This year, we're hoping we've expanded. We have 10 showings this year rather than 8 of last year. We have an opening reception as well, where we're pushing for networking from Ukrainian filmmakers and Canadian media and film as well, so they can at least cross-pollinate, hopefully make some relationships. So we're excited about the added scope that we're doing, the added films that we're doing, and the networking that we're at least putting on the table for people to network across just to help support Ukrainians here that have moved and have moved from Ukraine, been displaced. We have a director that was is now living in Vancouver. She's flying in, the director of Vidana or Felix Austria. We also have the assistant director for Klondike that's going to be here as well, doing some question and answered period Q&As. So yeah, it's expanding. It's a little bit bigger. We're excited. We're excited to see, you know, how many people fill our seats, and how much money we can generate for the humanitarian efforts.
Do you have a plan maybe to bring this movie festival to some other Canadian city for next year or somewhere in the future?
Well, we started a corporation, a nonprofit corporation called Kino Canada Inc. And Kino Canada puts on the Toronto Ukrainian Film Festival. We registered it as a federal corporation, thinking that we could somehow, you know, provide content, collect content, and engage other cities to show it. There's a couple of other organizations that are doing that now. Ukraine Harmony Foundation is doing that. They kind of do more one-off things rather than a whole collection of films. But we've teamed up with them as well. Like, I think we're stronger when we work together. So we've reached out to Ukraine Harmony. They're helping us put on Luxembourg on Sunday, with all the proceeds going to Ukraine Harmony. So I feel that we're stronger when we work all together. Hopefully we can work with Ukraine Harmony again and see if we can get some more films across Canada nationwide. So the film festival, okay. I don't know, that's a lot to organize over across an entire, it's hard enough to do it just around the corner from my house. So yeah, that'd be crazy. Yeah.
So let's talk about the festival particularly. What's new have you brought to the festival this year?
All the films are new. Yep. We're not showing the same ones as last year, but we're trying to be very conscious of the content as well. We're showing two documentaries, actually three, one at the front end, one at the back end, and one right in the middle. But we're trying to provide a variety of films, including historical drama. We've got a couple of comedies. One's a dark comedy. One's a little bit lighter. We have an opening reception as well that I was saying after our first film today. Tonight we're going to be welcoming the Polish consulate. A couple of dignitaries, MPs are showing up and to celebrate Ukrainian culture. So but with it being larger, you know, new films and also guests is what makes this year's festival bigger and better.
In terms of selection process, can you tell me how does the selection happening in your festival?
So the selection, because we're primarily trying to fundraise, we do not have sort of a whole committee of critiques, reviewers for submissions. We go out and we look at, we have contacts now in the Ukraine film industry who are now here, specifically one, Anna Palenchuk, a co-producer of In the Rear View that we're opening up with. She's been instrumental in helping us acquire a lot of our films. So we've worked with her to make the selections, as well as she knows a lot of where some of these directors are and has helped us get them here for the Q&A sessions. So the selection process is just literally going through the films that are on the docket at this point, selecting ones that we feel work with, or not to, you know, have a variety of films and different. And the thing is, now we're going to start getting into a time where there's less and less of like large feature productions, because the government in Ukraine is now putting all their funding into defense and not into films. Most of the films that will be coming out will be documentary, like we're seeing right now. They're lower budget. More people can do them. They tell the story of what people are going through there, which is very important, like 20 Days in Mariupol. So we might, next year, we might need to start, looking further back into previous years and other films that were done previously as well, just to keep that variety. I think the variety is very important.
Do you expect Canadian audience in your festival?
So the Canadian audience, that's I'm actually a home builder and an architect previously, so I have a lot of contacts now in the architectural industry community as well as the arts community here in Toronto, and I am trying my best to at least make that whole community, the arts community, the Toronto arts community, aware of this festival. I think one of my key goals is to have Canadians come and see these films, not just the Ukrainian diaspora. I think right now the struggle that Ukraine is going through right now is going on for a longer period of time. There's a fatigue as well, which we need to address. And so if we can keep sort of a positive nature on Ukraine's modern aspects, its arts and culture, what it's producing, and showcase that to Canadian audiences, it keeps Ukraine in their minds and their support. So that way we can rally Canadians in behind Ukrainians and what they're going through in terms of their struggle right now.
Do you think Canadians starting to forgetting about the war in Ukraine, which is going on already 2 years, and of course the 10 years of the annexation of the Crimea and Donbass?
Yeah. I think so. But that's another reason why we're putting this on. It just keeps it on the forefront, but it rather than, you know, showing what the pain and the suffering that is going on there, which is important for people to know about. I'm striving to show what Ukrainian culture and contemporary culture has made and is still making, and highlighting what the struggles are that they're going through. But trying to show a hopeful material as well. A culture is what makes a nation. Without a culture, without its language, its music, its film, its art, its sculpture, you know, a nation doesn't have very good foundations if it doesn't have its art and culture. So to celebrate its contemporary art and culture is very important in making a nation as well. I think one of our volunteers that works at Second Front said it very well, that kultura – це наша зброя. The culture is our armament. It's our weapon. So we stand behind that and put a positive foot forward as well, along with defense.
Can you name a couple movies that you strongly recommend to watch during this festival in Toronto?
The opening film in the rear view is a very, very strong film. I saw it and we helped promote the film at TIFF this year. I know when Maciek Hamala, the director, he was up on stage and somebody asked him, you know, did you have, you know, what was your experience in the danger aspect? Maciek is a filmmaker from Poland who decided, dropped his camera, dropped all of his work, and spent 6 months driving a van. He bought a van and was driving people from hotspots in Ukraine across the border into Poland to help people evacuate. 6 months into it, he thought and said, you know, I should be telling these people's stories. I'm a filmmaker. So he coordinated having a filmmaker in the passenger seat, and the movie is filming people in the back seat, but is so artfully done, so well edited. It's a debut for the director as well as the editors, and it's super powerful without being, you know, showing the shelling, all that. It's about the people and their stories. So very well made. That's we're starting off with that one. On a lighter note, we have Luxembourg, Luxembourg, a story about two brothers and their father on his deathbed. Their sort of cultural quirkiness, humor of the two brothers, their relationship with their dad. We have a historical drama, Felix Austria, which looks really beautiful. You know, putting on a historical drama with all the costumes and the scenery is quite a task to take on, and I'm really excited to see how that comes out and how the audience takes to that. So I think those three, if you want a good variety of them, Klondike won tons of awards, so we're showing that Saturday night. Yeah, I would say between those four, it's a good variety and a good selection.
Thank you, Roman, for your answer. So Roman Lysak was here with us. He spoke about the Toronto Ukrainian Film Festival, which is going on right now in Toronto from the April 4th to the April 7th in the Royal Cinema Place. Thank you, Roman, again.
Anton, дуже дякую. Thank you so much.
Thanks to Anton Lysenko of Victoria for that interview. You can watch the interview and others by Anton and his lovely wife Daria on the Nash Holos YouTube channel. Do subscribe to our YouTube channel, as well as to our podcast feed, website, and Patreon page if you haven't already. If you like our work and would like to support us, please become a patron on our Patreon page. Links in the podcast show notes and at the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com. Up next, popular Ukrainian bandurist Georgi Matveyev with a song from his album, Source of Inspiration. Here he is with Dream.
Слухайте наш голос радіо українського коріння, котре подається вам на хвилі CHLY 101.7 FM у місті Нанаймо.
You're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio on CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo.
Прийдуть скоро часи ще хороші, і ми хором співать буде пісні Божі. Ти не ворог, і не вернеться, не смердитиме порох, куля не полетить серце. Ворога поборемо, ворога поборемо. лише малина блискавиця, музика в дорозі знадобиться. Добре там, де вас нема, від села та й до села, від деревні до міста, відбулося неспроста. Поєднала, розгубила різна кольорова злива.
Ukraine's popular Kozak Siromaha with Voroha Poboremo, we will defeat the enemy.
Hello, I'm Vasiliy Polosky and welcome to Cultural Capsule here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I hope the coming of spring has been positive for all of you. Spring is a period of regeneration and thawing of the earth that has been frozen. The migratory birds begin to return, and many individuals look forward to warmer days. The ugly genocidal war against Ukraine by Putin and his twisted ideas of history has entered its third year. It has contributed to the death of thousands of people, sometimes directly and at times indirectly because of the calamity that is war. After the death of Stalin, Soviet Ukraine experienced what became known as the Khrushchev Thaw. This period allowed Ukraine more liberty in expressing its culture and language. In literature and other arts, there appeared a group that became to be known as the Shestidesiatniki, or the 60s. I've been blessed to having met some of those people, though unfortunately I never met a woman from this group that produced some incredibly passionate contemporary artwork and designs to preserve Ukrainian culture in many areas. Her name is Lyubov Panchenko, and she created many masterpieces in both the graphic and fashion worlds. Unfortunately, the word Holodomor, which means death by starvation, resonates in the generational memory of Ukrainians, and it was starvation which brought an end to a very ardent supporter of the Ukrainian cause. All death is unfortunate, though it seems very cruel to me that I learnt of the death of Lyubov Panchenko, who contributed to the rebirth of many traditions through her art. From the reintroduction of pisankarstvo, the art of writing Ukrainian Easter eggs, to introducing the Kolyada and Vertep nativity play in the Kiev region during the Khrushchev Thaw. Lyubov Panchenko was true to her home. She was born in the village of Yablunka on the outskirts of Bucha on February 2, 1938, later to be incorporated into Bucha. This is the place that became very ugly during the onslaught of Putin's orcs. It is now known as the Bucha Massacre. She was a very ardent supporter of the independence of Ukraine, like many others of her generation. Though when she decided to study in the field of arts in her youth, her parents were far from supportive. Some sources indicate that this was the case when she was studying at the Kiev School of Applied Arts in the 1950s, and may have eaten very poorly. After graduation, she worked in a tailoring workshop, ever expanding her interest in the arts. And by the late 1960s, she had developed an interest in the art of linocut. In 1968, she was admitted to the Faculty of Graphics of the Ukrainian Academy of Printing. It was through the sale of her pisanki that she supported the defense of her peers as the Khrushchev Thaw began to take a number of paces backwards. Her embroidery designs were published by the main women's magazine in Soviet Ukraine, Soviet Woman. These patterns were then copied by embroidery enthusiasts throughout the country. I remember my first trip to Kiev in the summer of 1990 and how Russified I found the city to be, and this was all the doing of Muscovite and Soviet politics. However, Panchenko well understood her place and was quoted, "Politics was imposed on me all my life, and I was far from it, but I always and everywhere spoke Ukrainian." I remember first seeing a picture of her with her telltale long braid back in the late 1980s while studying that period of Ukrainian descent. Urban legend has it that she was given a young crow to nurse back to health, which she did, and that crow became her companion. In 2001, Panchenko was awarded the Vasily Stus Prize for talent and courage. Though when the power of Muscovy decided to attack Ukraine, and starting with her hometown of Bucha, Panchenko had started a hunger strike in the protest of this attack. Her hunger strike apparently began when the barn next to her home was hit by a carefully targeted rocket. With that, Putin had announced his desire to destroy everything Ukrainian. It is said that her dog Bonya led neighbors to find her in a very bad state. She began to eat once again while in Kiev Hospital No. 5, though finally reached the end of her life's journey on April 3, 2022, at the age of 85. Today, I call out all listeners of Nashholes to do some exploration on the internet about this woman to learn more about who she was, her works of art, and someone who never liked the dance being propagated by Moscow in Ukraine. I look forward to being with you all again as spring begins to regenerate the environs in which we live. See you all soon. До побачення.
Up next, fellow Montrealers, Previt. From their most recent album, Allegories and Love Songs, here they are with Я люблю твої очі умрії, I love your eyes.
Я люблю твої очі умрії. Що глянули в душу колись, в них мої сподівання й надії, дивним карбом навік запеклись, я взяв тих очей таємницю. Твої золоті наче воду з ясної криниці, що розхлюпати людям в житті. І дивились на мене ті очі, як веселки з-під маєва брів. Тож диханням твоїм опівночі я людей у житті, я людей у житті, я людей у житті обігрію. Прочитаєш ти в людських очах свою душу легку й шовкову, по стежках, по лужках, по ночах. Дивились на мене ті очі, як веселки з-під маєва брів. Тож диханням твоїм опівночі я людей у житті, я людей.
This is Anton Lysenko for Nash Volos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Don't miss our new in-depth interview with the expert in foreign policy, Oleksandr Kraev. Together we'll discuss the security assistance deal that Canada recently signed with Ukraine. The full version of the interview in English language you can find on the YouTube channel Ukrainian Roots Radio Nash Volos.
Ми од віку не скорені ніким і ніколи не здамося сьогодні, щоб нас побороли. Стала кривавою наша земля. Брати українці, тримаймось, війна.
And now the latest news from Ukraine. Courtesy the Kiev Independent, Ukraine's largest and fastest-growing English-language news organization. Russian forces attacked seven communities in Ukraine's northeastern Sumy Oblast, the regional administration reported on April 14th. At least 76 explosions were recorded. In the village of Krasnopilia, one person was killed as a result of Russian artillery shelling. The communities of Khotin, Yunikivka, Bilopilia, Veleka Pisarivka, Esmen, and Seredina Buda were also targeted with Russian artillery, missiles, drones, mortar, and mines. Krasnopilia suffered the heaviest assault, with at least 26 explosions reported throughout the day. Russian troops hit the village of Odra Dokomyanka in Kherson Oblast with an FPV drone on April 14th, local authorities reported. The attack injured a 44-year-old man and a 74-year-old woman. Earlier in the day, authorities reported that five people were injured by waves of Russian attacks on Kherson Oblast. The attacks targeted 17 settlements and the city of Kherson, hitting port infrastructure, a preschool, and damaging residential buildings. Kherson Oblast remains partially occupied by Russian troops on the left bank of the Dnipro River. Russia frequently targets Kherson Oblast and the city, regularly killing and injuring civilians. Russian forces struck the village of Lukyansi in Kharkiv Oblast with a guided aerial bomb, Governor Oleg Sinyhubov reported on April 15th. Russia hit an educational facility in Lukyansi at around 2 p.m. local time, killing two people and injuring at least four. Lukyansi lies around 20 kilometers northeast of Kharkiv, the regional capital. Russian troops targeted 15 settlements in Kharkiv Oblast overnight and on April 14th, killing a 57-year-old woman and wounding another. Russian shelling of the city of Siversk in Donetsk Oblast killed four people, Governor Vadim Falashkin reported on April 15th. Settlements in Ukraine's eastern Donetsk Oblast suffer from daily Russian attacks due to their proximity to the front line. Heavy fighting continues in Donetsk Oblast as Russia seeks to occupy the entire region. Siversk, a city north of Bakhmut, came under attack on the evening of April 14th. Four men aged between 36 and 86 were killed. Russian troops also dropped an aerial bomb on a five-story building in Donetsk Oblast's village of Ocheretine, killing a 67-year-old woman and injuring two others. Russia also reportedly attacked the Bakhmut and Kramatorsk districts, damaging over 20 houses, including two high-rise buildings in the city of Slovyansk. Ukraine will send a request to convene a meeting of the NATO-Ukraine Council to discuss the defense of Ukrainian skies and supplies of air defense systems, President Volodymyr Zelensky said during his evening address on April 16th. Moscow intensified its aerial attacks on Ukrainian cities and civilians this spring, highlighting growing shortages in Ukraine's air defense systems. "We have heard a lot over the last 2 days about different conflicts in Europe and the Middle East, different levels of threat, and different airspace," Zelensky said. Iran carried out a massive aerial attack on Israel on April 14th, launching 170 drones, 30 cruise missiles, and 120 ballistic missiles, according to Israel's defense forces. The U.S., France, and the U.K. helped down Iranian missiles and drones. The largest drone attack ever is said to have involved Iranian-designed Shahed drones, which Russia has unleashed against Ukraine daily across the country. Although the Shahed drones and ballistic missiles are the same, different threats of escalation. But are human lives different? Are people's values different? Zelensky asked. No, they are not. We value every life equally. We must do so. We must protect them from terror on the same level. Ukraine's security service, SBU, attacked a Russian-modernized Nebo-U long-range radar system in Russia's Bryansk Oblast, a source at SBU said on April 16th. The Nebo-U system was reportedly capable of monitoring the sky 700 kilometers deep into Ukraine, which helped Russian troops detect Ukrainian weapons and support fighter jets dropping guided aerial bombs. The complex has an estimated price tag of around $100 million. It was hit with 7 kamikaze drones and is no longer operational, according to the source. Thanks to the destruction of this radar, the enemy has fewer opportunities to detect air targets along Ukraine's northern border. Russians' radar blindness will help our troops to conduct reconnaissance, launch drones, and use army aviation in this area more efficiently, the source said. This is the second Nebo-U system destroyed by Ukraine. The first one was targeted in Belgorod Oblast in Russia, according to SBU. Other high-value Russian targets recently struck by Ukraine include the Russian Kasta 2E2 radar system, destroyed near occupied Berdyansk in Zaporizhia Oblast. On April 15th, Ukrainian forces carried out a missile attack on a command post in Russian-occupied Crimea, where top Russian officers were deployed, according to military intelligence. The news came after explosions were reported in Crimea at noon local time. An air raid alert lasted for 2 hours. The local partisan group Atesh said that the sounds of Russian air defense operating had been heard. Atesh claimed that the military base of the 810th Marine Brigade in Sevastopol had been hit. Russian aircraft were also recorded taking off during the air raid alert. In recent months, Ukraine has intensified its attacks on occupied Crimea, targeting Russian military assets in and around the Black Sea. Navy spokesperson Dmytro Pletenchuk said on March 30th that Russia had withdrawn nearly all its major ships from ports in occupied Crimea following successful Ukrainian strikes. Russia has lost 455,340 troops in Ukraine since the beginning of its full-scale invasion on February 24, 2022, the General Staff of Ukraine's Armed Forces reported on April 16th. This number includes 920 casualties Russian forces suffered just over the previous day. According to the report, Russia has also lost 7,189 tanks, 13,809 armed fighting vehicles, 15,563 vehicles and fuel tanks, 11,609 artillery systems, 1,046 multiple launch rocket systems, 759 air defense systems, 347 airplanes, 325 helicopters, 9,277 drones, 26 ships and boats, and a submarine. And that's the news from Ukraine for today. Coming to you courtesy the Kyiv Independent, Ukraine's largest and fastest-growing English-language news organization. For more up-to-date news stories as they happen, visit their website, kyivindependent.com, and make sure to follow them on social media. To allow this independent Ukrainian news team to continue delivering you news from on the ground in Ukraine, please consider becoming a member at kyivindependent.com.
Дівчина річ на молода, гей, гей, гавка, дівчина річ. Думав я старості у неділю, думав погуляємо на весіллі. Ей, гей, га, ха, ха, дівчина, рівчина молода. Ей, гей, га, ха, ха, дівчина, рівчина молода. Але повернутися з рушниками, але повернулися з гарбузами. Ей, гей, га, ха, ха, дівчина, рівчина молода. Думав я втопитися з тої злості, та вона холодна, я ломить кості. Ей, гей, гау, ха-ха, дівчина, рівчина молода. Ей, гей, гау, ха-ха, дівчина, рівчина молода.
Anatoly Rudenko and the Folklore Ensemble Cave with Once I Had a Girl. Нагадую, ви слухаєте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння на хвилі CHLY 101.7 FM у місті Нанаймо. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим, цими словами мудрості. Як хочеш добре і весело жити, то привикай щодня добре робити. And our proverb of the week translates as, if you want to live well and happily, get used to doing good every day. And that brings us to the end of another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on CHLY 101.7 FM in Nanaimo. In between broadcasts, please stay in touch with us via our Facebook page. For transcripts, audio archives, and a link to our podcast, visit www.nashholos.com. You can also find a link to our Patreon site there if you'd like to support our work. And of course, you can always find Nash Holos on your favorite podcast app. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and CHLY, thanks for listening. Do zusrichi. We'll be right back.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.